to the Serbian Corner show, where a couple of Serbians talk about nuggets. We're on the DMVR YouTube channel and the DMVR Nuggets podcast feed. My name is Voya. Hello, everybody. With me today is Miroslav, as usual. What's up, my man? Say hello to people.
Happy New Year. Happy New Serbian Year. We talked about the Julian calendar last week. And in fact, today is January 1st. According to that calendar, I think it's a bit of a wacky kind of holiday, because, you know, it's not really a church holiday. But anyway, many people in Serbia are celebrating New Year today as well. So happy New Year to everybody who is celebrating.
Yeah, how are you doing? How was your, I guess, January 1st in the old calendar? And how you feel after the game last night?
After last night's game, I felt great. I didn't feel as great after that Clippers game, but we'll get into that.
Yeah, we'll get to that. So what the show is usually about, we're a weekly recap of Nuggets basketball. It's like what happened in the entire week, like quick takeaways, some main themes, disagreements, if we have any, and everything else along the slate. So we'll get into our usual start with our Rakia shots. So usually, as I say, it's the national alcoholic drink of Serbia, taken before dinner to make a toast. So what this segment will be is a quick headline, something that really drew our attention this week and made like a really quick impression and strong impression, because it's a very strong drink. So let's start off, Miroslav. What are you toasting to this week?
Well, the DNVR audience is used to me making epic rants about the Nuggets, so I'm going to do a space opera angle today and give my Rakia of the Week a name, A New Hope. Now, I could have taken a different approach with, let's say, Marvel superhero movies, but since I don't want to be kicked out of the program by Adam for two shows in a row, I'm choosing the Star Wars comp, as even Mares probably saw those ones as a kid. So our New Hope saga starts here with R2-D2, and that's the returning Marcus Howard, and C-3PO coming to Tatooine to try and find the wise old man, Obi-Wan Kenobi. That's Jeff Green, who we will be speaking about a lot in this show, to come and help the rebels fight against the evil Empire. Little did they know, a young Skywalker, that's Jamal Murray, is ready to leave the space farming of injury recovery, take his X-Wing, also known as a Blue Arrow, and go straight to the Death Star space station, a planet killer. But he won't be able to do that by himself. He'll need some help from Han Solo, a superstar pilot who just got his bag and left for 4 months to recover after surgery on his back. If Solo comes back on time and saves him from those awful TIE fighters, total success will be inevitable. Now, I know I somehow missed mentioning Nikola Jokic in this space opera. I guess he will have to be Princess Leia Organa now, but we'll workshop it more. In all seriousness, we got the report from Mike Singer that the Nuggets are not ruling out the return of Michael Porter Jr. this season. We already got our boy Marcus back so much sooner than we expected, really. And Jamal should be back in 6 weeks or so. And we started the 6-game homestand the right way, beating the crap out of lousy and shorthanded Trailblazers. Trailblazers, sorry. It looks like it's going to be a race for the 5th seed with the Mavericks to the very end. And hopefully the Nuggets will have the upper hand in that race, so they could temper at the very end and choose if they want to play the Jazz or the Grizzlies in the first round. Right now, I don't want to play either of them, but with the cavalry that might be around the corner, things could change for the better very soon. Voya, do you share my not so long-term optimism?
I do. I mean, nothing. Well, first off, nothing better than to kick off a homestand and beating the Stormtroopers that are Portland Trailblazers. They couldn't hit anything last night. So that was really great. And obviously seeing guys back. Jermichael obviously was out, but hopefully it's not the protocols or anything serious. But yeah, I mean, I love it. I mean, we got Zeke back, and Barton was back after protocols, which we saw against the Clippers that we missed him. So it is, I mean, it's cool. Like, a new hope, and my boy Marcus Howard's back. Hopefully he'll hit some big shots like he did before he got hurt. So we'll see. I mean, I don't know. You saw the pregame warm-ups with Jamal and MPJ. I really do hope they're close by. Like, I was surprised. I mean, for MPJ, I'm shocked that he's even on the court after such a, I mean, was it December he got the surgery? So, you know, thank good Lord, the modern medicine is doing its thing. So, yeah, I mean, it's great. I don't know what kind of, who is the guy that really is hyping you up to get back besides Jamal Murray, because that's like a given.
Well, the thing about it is when you get somebody so much sooner than you hope for, then your brain goes to different places. And I'm thinking like, well, what if they just cheated us and they give us Jamal on February 1st or something crazy like that, you know, or if we get Porter on, 4 months flat from the operation, that would be insane. But I remember Dr. Bilagi, I think I pronounced his last name properly, on Adam's show, said that that's it. The 4 months is the recovery period from this kind of operation. The only thing we thought on top of that was, you know, if it's a third operation on the back, that they might take a super extra careful approach in bringing him back. But, you know, in reality, you really only need 4 months to get back from that kind of operation. And the operation was a great success because Porter was relieved of pain on day one after the operation. He feels well, so they have actually to restrain him from jumping right now because he feels like he can do it. So I'm quite optimistic. I'm quite optimistic about the all three of them, actually. So call me a drunken Serbian.
Yeah, we see the chat. They're telling us to take the shots next time. I promise when I get to Lincoln, I will. I'm still in the protocol. So when I get to the States, then Rocket comes out. You said I'm more cautiously optimistic. I really am hoping Jamal to get back, but also the season's kind of on and off with the wins and just how the rhythm is going. I really don't want him to come back too soon and just ruin like the prospect of the next season. So just take their time. We're not doing as badly as it seems at certain points. Other teams are doing, terribly as well. So this, as far as I'm concerned, my quick shot of the week is the Austin Rivers game. Is multiple reasons. Like, I'm just one of those Rakias that like you don't expect to like. When you see it in a bottle, or you see like when someone suggests it to you, you're like, I don't know, I'm not so sure. And you try, and you're like, oh wow, this was insane. So when Austin Rivers was supposed to sign for the Nuggets, I was against it completely. Like, he's a Duke guy, top pick. Like, he was jumping around. Like, he lost his spot at the Knicks to a rookie. Oddly, a rookie that very reminds us of, but at least me, Bones reminds me of quickly. And it was kind of funny just like this year if Austin was going to lose his spot again like that. But just to get back to, I wasn't very, very optimistic with him signing just for the chemistry standpoint. Like, is this, we've seen like NBA locker rooms really like crumple under the certain circumstances of some players coming in. And when he came here, I was, it was like a 180 completely. Like, as soon as he spoke in one of the pressers, one of the first pressers. So seeing him like after that Portland series, like taking a swing, swinging one of the games that was very important, and then starting the season kind of, like he didn't really have a signature veteran game like a lot of guys had before. So this was like a very, I know it's OKC and everything, but just hitting some clutch shots in a game that's really close, scoring 22 points, 6 of 9 for three, like it was really cool to see, and just kind of deserved it by this point, like to me at least, just how he was handling himself and just becoming like integral part of the leadership of the Nuggets. And, he's one of the guys that like really popular around the league in a way like that not a lot of guys are. Like, he's goes to these podcasts, he's social media present. So him having him as an ambassador was kind of cool to see that last year and even this year. So I love that he was great. I mean, obviously his plus minus was zero, like, statistically maybe doesn't show it, but I think he was in spots like when the game was breaking open, he had some really big, like his, jab steps, shots that, sometimes can drive you nuts because he can record scratch the play. But in this specific game, I really loved just the decisiveness that he had and showed. And it was kind of well deserved. And then unfortunately, he had that allergic reaction, then a bad game against the Clippers, which I still think he shouldn't have played after that scary night that he had. I don't think he was should have been allowed even to step out there, like just mentally to be in it. Because again, what did he go like 0-6? But that's what I mean. That's why I'm highlighting this OKC game. And then last night he was fine, but those are the blowouts that veterans usually don't shine as much because they don't really care. That's my belief. So, but what do you think? What do you think about Austin this week? You have any takeaways?
Yeah, he was great. And the thing about Austin, he's a real hooper, man. When he starts going, he's really good. He's not that great, you know, off the dribble as he thinks he is. So he needs to hit a couple of threes before he can start going straight to the basket, where he has some real good moves. But he needs that half a step advantage to do it properly. And yeah, he's a really, really streaky shooter. He will miss like 10 open threes in a row, but then you will get this kind of game where he goes like 6 of 9 or something like that for the three. And that, of course, opens everything. And this is why we had such a great game from him.
Yeah, and obviously on the defensive end, I really love this effort. It's one of also the things that I wasn't expecting. Especially after like PJ Dozier got hurt, Austin Rivers had to take over a lot of those responsibilities. And it's crazy as a guy that was in college, like a primary ball handler, an offensive guy, just to accept the defensive role to that level and actually take over some of the main assignments in that second unit. And just going, you know, taking basically he's a three sometimes when they play that second unit with Faku and Bones with him. So that was pretty interesting to see a veteran adapt that much without any negging or like disagreements on the other end. Like he could have easily been a dick about it and just not played as hard as he is, especially when he's not getting the ball to the point where like some guys in this, you know, this team are. So again, like really, really cool, and wanted to highlight his week, and I think it was really good to the degree of what a role player can have a good week. Like, you know, 22 points in a game is really cool, and then rest of it is just not messing up too much in the other minutes that Jokic is not on the court, and then just meshing with him as much as you can. So, yeah, that were our, do we have any more shots that we want to take? Did you see anything, any other good comments from the guys in the crowd and girls?
Well, they're mostly spot on. I mean, Ray said that Austin is really talented, but he sometimes played with a style that isn't appropriate for this level of play. And I have to say, that's partly true because it might be actually appropriate for a different kind of offense, the egalitarian kind of offense that Nuggets are trying to play. That's not the best way to do it. But
And Colonel Salih said, "Think Austin is an emotional player on the court." Yeah, I love that too. Like he got into it with Marcus Morris. We kind of need that. You know, those are the guys that, you know, not the enforcer, quote unquote. Like, you know, Kenyon Martin used to be, or some of the big guys from old NBA, but some, you know, really someone that's going to show the backbone. And I think he and Bonte can kind of become that nice, like, you know, quote, dog duo that'll get into people's faces, you know, if necessary. So those were good comments. Thank you, guys. And, you know, Adam said in the chat, just keep it to English. I know you want to joke around with us, but let's have everyone involved in the joke because we have some guys from the States. Now we're going to go into now the best thing of the week, our like main topics. We call those Burek of the Week. It's the nice juicy pastry that our man Nikola Jokic used to eat a lot when he was younger. So that's what we'll take apart some of the juiciest storylines, maybe some happenings in the week of Nuggets basketball. And then we'll talk about it some more. It's our high calorie intake after our Rakia shots that we just had. So why don't you start us off, Miro? What's your break? What are you eating this week?
Well, this week Nuggets played three really bad teams and went 2-1. So there is not so many things to be really excited about. You know, they should have gone 3-0, and then I would be really hyped about that. But there is another thing I always get excited about, and that's the player movement, because for some strange reason, I just love to see the trades. I love to see guys going up and down on the rosters. And we had a lot of player movement this week. So everything started with Bol Bol being traded to Detroit for Rodney McGruder in the late second round pick from the Nets. But that trade was canceled, was rescinded after Bol didn't pass the Pistons' medicals. A very unusual situation, a very awkward for both the Nuggets and for Bol, who might get a bad reputation health-wise, which really sucks. I'm really sad this thing didn't go through because it was good for all parties, including the Pistons. And now I don't see how he will log a single minute until the end of this season, and that could jeopardize his NBA career completely. What do you think, Waya, about Bol's situation?
I mean, we said many times Bol is pain in Serbian. It really was a painful situation, especially learning that, you know, Matiunas, the player that is in Monaco now in France for the EuroLeague team. He was, you know, a longtime NBA player from Lithuania. He kind of sounded off that his trade was also vetoed by the Pistons because of the physical, and he finished the season in Houston that year, no problem. So that's kind of, then I think it was a Keith Smith that had a tweet that like three of the last five vetoed trades were all in the Pistons and all because of the physical. So kind of honestly, I think they're the ones that are getting a better reputation more than Nuggets about it, you know, Bobo's health. Health of the players and just how to do business with them, I guess. As far as Bol Bol, I really don't know how to get back from this. Like, at this point, I feel like Nuggets should just take the loss and cut him and just, you know, it is what it is with him. You know, it all kind of, you know, went off on the wrong foot. You know, his broken foot when they drafted him. And, you know, he's talented, but I don't know about you, I've never seen him as an NBA player. Honestly, like, no matter how much of that, like, 7-3 dribbling and like shooting and all that stuff is fine. With that height, you're not playing pickup ball where there's no defense and like you can just play at the perimeter that like loosely. So I never saw that as a chip that Nuggets had. Like we would talk about on our Nuggets Serbia podcast about the players that we get excited about. I don't think we ever mentioned Bol as one of them, and just like I'll believe it when I see it. It was my situation, so I don't see him seeing any minutes and being any big contribution to this team. Like, what do you mean as far as your like verdict on him? What do you think? Like, do you like him? Do you don't?
Well, for me, Bol Bol was always a unicorn, and I mean a literal unicorn, so something that doesn't really exist. It was always, it was really, really strange to me. So not a basketball unicorn, but a real unicorn. It's just that, how can that be possible? I mean, he's so slim, and I have this perspective of him. He looked to me like he was getting thinner and thinner each year. Like he was even thinner in year three than he was in year one, which is probably not true, but still, I just didn't see any progress in that side. Nuggets gave him that contract to show they believed in him, and that's unfortunately biting them in the ass right now. But who knows? He might get cut and still get signed by somebody else. I mean, you know, if somebody
doesn't give anything
for him, maybe somebody will be willing to sign him on a two-way contract, something like that. Go back to that kind of treatment. I don't know. I think it would be for the best if he would go to China or maybe go to some other less stressful place and just play ball, because he really is talented. I just don't think he will ever have the physicality of and being able to play on this kind of level.
Yeah, I agree. Like, it, you know, I think if they cut him, if they waive him, I think someone will pick him up. As you said, like, they're now with all the hardship exemptions, like, he can probably get a 10-day, get a two-way, like, pretty sure. honestly, I mean, you know, it would be funny just to get on the Grand Rapids Gold. If he ends up getting cut, that would be like one of the hilarious parts. Ray said, like, he doesn't think both challenges in terms of finding a role in Denver are unique. You know, to the extent it could be said that he didn't try hard enough, like that Vlatko also hasn't gotten much run here. I think with Vlatko, is, I mean, I think they're two different players, just as the effort and I think the fundamentals that they have as as basketball players. And I think Vlatko had a, you know, kind of like, you know, not to say like really a misfortune, but like Millsap was here for the longest time and he's very, you know, he was a very sound player that just ate up a lot of minutes on that position. And then you would have like Jeremy Grant and then you had Jermichael Green. So those kind of like, and they're bigger than Vlatko and they're doing kind of similar things of like low mistakes, you know, dependable guys. But again, when you have a couple of guys that are bigger doing similar things and better, you know, those things, but a little bit better, he's not going to have a role. So as far as why I'm not on like thinking, you know, physically, again, he should be bigger, I guess, for the bigger positions that he's playing. But again, even without that, even if we're saying he's going to be a wing, like the mistakes that he makes, like I can't believe how many traveling calls that he had or like stepping on the sideline in just a few rotation minutes that he had under Popeye Jones this last week. So that's kind of the stuff, like, you know, in the NBA, like that stuff shouldn't be happening. They're calling it for travel that much. Even in the NBA, that doesn't really call traveling on a first step at all anyway. And you get like five calls in a week. That's why I'm like one of those things. And then again, with the effort plays this year, we've seen that I just didn't see him in the Nuggets, especially with Malone, how he is with effort. And he, you know, he benched Bones this week. Like that, you know, that's the stuff that he kind of values. So I'm not surprised that they want to trade him, and I really don't think he's going to have a role. So, well, yeah, I think we can move on. Like we had, was it,
yeah, sure. Sure. Yeah. Davon Reed is next up.
I approve. Like when this is kind of the, you know, the segment we're calling basically the who's the Jokic guy. And, you know, Bol Bol, definitely, I don't see him, even though they had some good plays. Yeah. With Davon Reed, I really do think he is, even though he has some ironing out to do, especially with some of the plays that Adam showed in his list and notebook episodes, just of figuring out the right moments to like be aggressive and to defer. But I still think his aggressiveness is useful to this team and just how quickly he decides to pass the ball and like react on that court. As soon as he stepped on the court, I was like, this is kind of the Torrey Craig situation. But like if Torrey Craig was a Jokic player, just quickly picking up the plays and trying on defense and not messing up too much either. So I really love that deal. Like, you know, sad that Peter Cornelius got fired on like the day he got sick and didn't even get a chance.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. Yeah, okay, yeah. So this is the last time we are talking about Peter Cornelius. So it is really important for me to pronounce his name properly.
Okay.
So his name is Peter, since his mother is a former basketball player from Czech Republic, Pavla Simgudova, and she gave him a Czech first name. And I actually know a Peter, a different Peter, and this is why I'm so confident in his name pronunciation. But kidding aside, I'm really glad that Damon Reed got that two-way contract for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
So he will most probably stick with the team until the end. And he was having some low-key, really great performances in a very, very small role. So he is averaging a huge number of rebounds per 36 minutes that are Jokic-like, really, like 14 rebounds per 36 minutes. He very rarely turns the ball over, even though he usually passes the ball when it gets to him. And I agree with you, there were some situations when he was out of character and taking some bad shots, but I don't think that was too concerning.
Yeah,
especially
if you
just scale down his minutes to like 8 minutes per game, that would be completely fine. I'm not afraid of Davon Reed. I'm really glad they kept on to him.
Yeah, and I think he would have been signed instantly after a few games that he had, you know, in the Nuggets uniform, and he was starting when Barton was out with. I think that was injury, not it was the illness, not COVID or not the protocols. So I really loved what he did, and especially with kind of a, that's kind of interesting with Monte as his backcourt partner sometimes in those lineups with Jokic. I've really liked it. he didn't have a lot of responsibility to, you know, to be anything more than what, you know, just to make quick decisions, shoot when he's open and play defense, especially with Monte and, you know, and the point of attack defense has been kind of an issue this year at certain times. So with him there, I think it's a good pairing. So yeah, that was a really cool moment to see him just in, and then finally to sign someone from our G League, to get him, you know, the guys have been getting plucked off into other teams. Like Lance is playing great in Indiana, but I think that's his Indiana magic. Like, I don't think he would have played that well, for the Nuggets. And, you know, we have Stauskas was back, I think, and he was back and forth. So that was the two way deal was really cool. We had James Ennis, right? That was this week as well.
Yeah, he was signed to a 10-day health and safety hardship deal or whatever it is called.
Yeah.
We only saw him for 4 minutes against the Clippers, and those were a disaster. But I don't want to give any takes on him after 240 seconds of playtime.
He
used to be quite a good shooter, and he's also a defensive guy. But I have no idea what he looks like now, and I don't know if we will actually see him. Maybe, but everybody's back, so it's possible that 10-day contract will just go away. And
I still kind of want to see him, just since they already signed him. I don't think, I know the wins are important now, but we've kind of seen just hovering around 500 for now. They don't really have to push it that much, especially if they have a game like yesterday. If they have some separation and stuff, it might not be that terrible to put someone at, like, when you're up 25, to put someone that wants to prove something in the game, and so it doesn't, you know, so the other guys don't get relaxed, and, you know, allow the Clipper meltdown. And he, with him, like, he was, I think he was really good in the bubble. I think I remember following, you know, because that was, everyone was in lockdown then, so you would watch like every game every single day, and he was really decent. That's like the James Ennis the third, right? Like, that's his full.
Yeah.
He was starting for them, I think, and, you know, even off the bench, like, he was pretty decent. They had that, you know, that the playoff run, that one round. I was really just want to see him. Like, I don't have any like really big opinions. Just wings, play defense. Like, see what we can use from that kind of guy. Like, I don't think they can sign him more than this, probably, since everyone's back and Bol is back. We didn't get Rodney Magruder. We didn't get to see him, even though that was a weird situation. He was practicing with the squad, and then he was, you know, okay, go back to Detroit. So that was really odd. And let's do the meaty question now, since we're talking about the Jokic guys, and this is like the biggest question mark, and for me at least, kind of a little bit of a worry in this kind of fragile homestand that we're having. The Marcus Cousins potential signing, like, they're still talking to him. I don't know now with the trade, like, if they still have the hardship. I think they still do, because there's like five guys that were out, and Marcus Howard was sent to the G League. So the Marcus Cousins 10-day, yes or no?
Well, you know, if you look historically, Cousins used to be a good stats, bad team guy, like Karl Anthony Towns. And, you know, I have respect for Cat, but he needed to go away from Sacramento for them to take a really, really small step forward, not a really big one, because they still didn't see the playoff even since. But then he had that half a season in New Orleans when they looked pretty good, him and Anthony Davis together. And then he got injured, and then he went to Golden State to be an asshole over there. And then he went to the Lakers and so on this year in the Bucks. I have no idea what he is right now, but I think as a player, he should fit just fine with the Nuggets, because they can even imitate some of the plays they do with Nikola Jokic, because DeMarcus is quite a good passer, one of the best in last 20 years from center position. The main question here is he willing to play for the team? Or does he want to push for his stats so he can recommend himself to another team? That's the big difference. I don't think he can afford not being a nice guy in the locker room. he needs to be aware of where he is right now at his career, and hopefully who knows? We might get the Austin Rivers again with the Marcus. That would be best case scenario.
That would be the biggest test for, or like the biggest medal for the culture in the locker room of the Nuggets. If DeMarcus Cousins comes in and he ends up somehow staying on the roster for the entire season like Austin Rivers did. And what Ray said, like with, you know, DeMarcus providing the much needed personality and value in a limited role. So the basketball part for me is like, I think he can work, and to a point, you know, Plumlee was like the mini yoke in a way of just running, as you said, running the same plays. Like he can kind of, he wasn't, you know, as dumb as some people would think. I think he was a decent basketball player and like just a, you know, fine backup for Jokic, even, you know, more than fine, one of the best there is, but just used in, you know, different, you know, those ways that fit the Nuggets at that point. I think DeMarcus could fit that. He has like a, you know, stretching ability, stretching the court ability. I just don't like the personality is like always like a big question mark. He, you know, for him, it wasn't fair, like how the Sacramento thing shook out, and he went and was really playing well with Davis. But this season, as I said before, like it's called up and down. Like at this point, just run with it. Like I don't care. Just get DeMarcus. No, I don't care. Like just get DeMarcus Cousins and put him with Jokic some minutes. Just see what the hell happens. Like who knows? You know, he and Davis used to play well together in New Orleans. We might get some interesting, at least get a few interesting games. Maybe like he realizes some of his value, like, you know, maybe he picks up from Jokic, like the calm demeanor and just how he is as a guy, and like figures out that like you don't have to be boisterous and vociferous on the court as much, that you can use your energy better. Because with him, it was always that way. Like he was such a phenomenal talent, and like even production wise, sometimes it was really good, but then he would waste a lot of his energy on like other things and unnecessary things. And, you know, you had the moment with, you know, searching for Jokic and all that bullshit that he does. And JD said in the comments, let's have him against the Lakers, like go up against Howard. Like that would be really fun, at least to see, at least for that, just sign him. But as a Jokic guy, not right now, like what he showed before, he doesn't seem like he is, especially Bucks didn't keep him. That kind of was like another like weird, like little, not a red flag, but like a yellow flag of that team could have, you know, with Brook Lopez out for a while, like they could have used some new body to do the similar things. And Giannis is such a Jokic guy that it was weird that he didn't stay as long. Maybe he wanted a bigger role, who knows. So I really want to see what happens. And the negotiations is, I'm just hoping that they're signing, you know, that they're waiting to sign him to a right moment so they can use the 10 days best, that it's not like he is putting out his demands to come on the team and his like conditions that wants to come on the team and like what he wants to do. So we'll see. I mean, what do you think besides, I guess, what we can see from him on the court, like what if he plays with Jokic, what do you think, like how that might look like? Would Jokic go on a four, like something that the Serbians hate hearing from the World Cup? Or would you want to stretch out DeMarcus Cousins and let Jokic do his thing in the low post? Like, what do you think?
Well, it's difficult because we haven't seen that since Plumlee left the Nuggets.
Yeah,
having two fives in the lineup, but I would like to see DeMarcus being part of the rotation because that would make the Nuggets much bigger than what they are right now.
Yeah.
I like them playing big. I like the three really big guys in the starting lineup. I hate playing three small guys in the you know, reserve guys. And I would like to see all of the Dos Verdes, the Jokic, Cousins, and Aaron Gordon, that's five big guys playing all the minutes at three, four, and five. I would like to see that. I'm not sure it would be sustainable for every kind of game. But if you remember those bubble Lakers, they were just crushing everybody with size. They didn't try to go smaller to try to play against another team and adjust to their pace. Nuggets are a good team. they shouldn't be adjusting to bad teams, especially. Of course, there are some teams, there is like probably 10 teams that are better than the Nuggets right now. So I can see the reason for adjustments there. But we've seen some situations where Nuggets went small to try to compensate to what the Nuggets was showing. Now we see the Harrison Wynn tweet. The Marcus Cousins signing is still happening.
Okay.
Just so a question of when it's executed.
So it's not a
That's fine. That's fine.
About. Okay.
this is maybe that's fine. It's fine meme with the flames behind, but we'll see. Let's go for the best.
I really don't.
I'm excited.
I really don't think that. I think at this point the locker room is really strong, which again this season really proves it to me. Like the fact that, you know, even after the win last night and Zeke's getting the defensive player of the game chain, and they're all excited. And the game before with, you know, and then the Austin Rivers against OKC. Like it doesn't even though they're up and down and they're blowing these leads and they're like. Really, it's a weird thing, right? They were like outscored in the second half in the last like 16 or 17 games until last night. That kind of stuff is, and they can break a team, and they don't seem to be broken. And I think it's because of how Jokic is, the demeanor that he has, that he, you know, the press conference after the game when he was like, "Oh, if they like me, they like me. If they don't, they don't. It's fine to me." And, you know, then joking with the sexy thing with Malone, that kind of stuff. It just tells me that. No matter what type of dude DeMarcus Cousins would be, I don't think he would be able to rattle this locker room. I think they're tight enough that he would just bounce off of them if he was negative, instead of actually penetrating and you know, one rotten apple spoiling the core. Because again, with Malone, he played some of the best like calm, I guess, basketball that he played. So it would be cool to just see him like rejuvenated. Like I, you know, it's a shame. Like he's one of the most talented. Center position guys ever, and like just to drop out of the league because of a few like bad breaks that he had. I wish we can, you know, get some Nuggets culture magic in there and like make it better.
Actually, him being a part of the Nuggets could unlock one lineup that we haven't seen a single minute of this season, and that's Jokic with Dos Verdes together. And I know that's huge, and I know that seems clunky. But, you know, both of those guys should be, you know, the floor stretchers. And they're both very good Jokic players. They both cut really well. They both are in sync with Jokic when they play together with him. So we spoke about in the previous months how the Dos Verdes lineup didn't work. Well, it didn't work because they didn't have Jokic. But if Jokic was handling both of them, I think that would actually worked. I'm not sure about, you know, if it would work on every game, but I would like to see that lineup as well. And it would be opened to that kind of situation, of course.
Yeah, especially the guys are, you know, the guys are talking about in the chat, like he's not a difference maker, he's a role player and stuff like that. Of course, like we're not saying like starting him and he's carrying you to the championship as a franchise guy. Just we're, you know, talking about the margins here and the guys that are coming in there. Just shore up this roster. Miss Love reminded me in the comments, we talked about this in our other like Serbian talking show about some other trades and transactions that we might we want to see. I've suggested one of the friends of ours from Croatia that he's basically said like Robin Lopez would be really cool on the Nuggets, and I think he would be really like interesting Nuggets guy. And then that's why I was throwing like a bowl. It may be a pick. I don't know what Orlando Magic would want, but like I would even be, fine sacrificing something like that to get Robin Lopez because he can actually like he knows the role and he's fine with staying on the bench for a big stretch of the season and then coming in just doing his job. I don't know if he wants to leave Orlando because of the Disney World, but that's one of those like I want to throw it in there just like interesting things that we might want to look forward to. Just trying to repackage Bowl, I guess, since Detroit negged it. I want to go forward and, you know, continue with the topic of Jokic guys. Like my best thing of the week, it kind of picks up on this, is, Jeff Green and how he's been playing this week. And then the fact that it's been 10 years since his surgery. I still remember, I used to follow more like of the broad NBA at that point, more than just a specific team. And I was really excited to see him on the Celtics that year, and especially Nenad Krstić from Serbia was also traded with that package for Perkins. And then he had that surgery, and I was like, oh, he's done. Like, and he was such a good wing in OKC. And he was talking about with Katie Wingy, with he was talking to Mike Singer, a bunch of stuff, a bunch of interviews about this. And then also on the Woj pod was really cool, just to how, you know, how scared he was and how he had to go through that. And he, it was funny just like how well he's playing that people forget that he had that surgery. And he's one of the guys that, like, I remember Utah cutting him. And I was like, oh, could we get him? And some of the guys in Discord were like, oh, Jeff Green sucks. Like, he was cut for a reason. Like, if Utah can use him, you know, no one can. And then he goes in the Rockets and then the Nets. And I wish he stays. And I wish he stays for, like, as long as he's productive and he kind of wants to play. He was talking about wanting to play basically for, like, you know, at least 40 if he can. I mean, honestly, how he looks, I don't know if you can see him being 35. Like, he's more athletic than Jokic is and was ever, probably, or like even some of the guys, other guys on the squad. Like, that's our high flyer. Like, Gordon's been banged up since he got here. Like, Jeff Green's our, you know, the most athletic dude. Like, what are your thoughts on him this year and this week specifically?
You actually have to look at his hairline to confirm that he's actually 35. He's amazing. All of those alley-oops, I was like, what? And then again, what? And what? Yeah. Like five, six dunks.
Guys, like, you know,
five, six dunks. I mean, if you break down what happened in that game against the Timberwolves, yeah, there were 21 threes. But before all of those threes, there were so many dunks.
So many
great, great possessions against them. And I'm really impressed with how smart Jeff Green is. And he was actually this week... Nugget's second best player per 36 minutes. He was scoring almost the same number of points as Nikola Jokic this week. Well, actually, Marcus Howard had like 41 points per 36 because he scored a three in 2 minutes. But joking aside, Jeff was really, really impressive this week. And I'm really impressed with the whole season from him. Yeah, he had some stinkers here and there, especially while he was playing with Jermichael in the second unit. But I'm really excited about him. The only thing I'm a bit scared from is he has some really bad numbers in four quarters for some strange reason, and we'll get to that in just a bit. But in terms of, is he a Jokic player? He damn sure he is.
Yeah, I think so. Not that I don't care that much, but like he's a guy like, in the fourth quarter, especially when Jamal comes back, like, you know, I'm not relying on him to finish up.
Sure.
Okay, so let's move on so we don't go over too much. Just great, you know, great story from him. Just look up Woj's pod, and he was talking about Jokic a lot. And we're going to go into some of the worst things of the week now. It's our Eurotake file, so, you know, it stops the fast break. It really sucks. Everyone does it, and I hope they you know, take it out. So we'll, you know, if they take it out next year, we'll figure out a new segment. So what's your worst thing of the week that you had? I think we talked about some clutch woes, especially against, you know, we saw the Clippers game that was kind of iffy at the end. What do you have for us?
Yeah, I'm gonna be a bit hot takey here. Okay. My Eurotake foul of the week is clutch minutes rotation and play calling.
Okay.
And not only this week, but for the whole season, really. We've seen a lot of proof in numbers that the Nuggets play much better in first halves than in the second halves of games. And before I get to the clutch decisions, let me set the stage a bit. Here's my theory. Nobody is really scouting anybody at this point of the season. Well, that's not completely true. There are scouting everybody, but there are so few in-person meetings between the games. So the players are getting their film on their iPads or wherever, and very few of them know everything they need to know before the games. So Denver has the best offensive hub in the league in Nikola Jokic, so they are steamrolling everybody in first halves. But as the game goes on, the opponents start playing better with each timeout and after every end of quarter break. That's why I think the opponents are making better in-game adjustments than what Michael Malone does this season for the Nuggets. I've taken a look at the match against the Clippers, who were very shorthanded and couldn't hit anything in the first half, especially everything changed when they started guarding the space in front of Jokic, making it very hard for the ball to get to him. That, in my opinion, called for more pick and roll game, or if Jokic was too gassed to do it, to exploit the simple fact that they can play 4-on-3 with Nikola hard doubled. This was seen twice against the Clippers, both in their third quarter and also in their fourth quarter runs with Jokic on the court. It was really damning in the clutch when the lack of guard play was the most evident. Bledsoe and Reggie Jackson were exploiting the Nuggets playing drop to take Jokic on an island and make some really impressive step back and sidestep threes. And on the other side, there were too few possessions where the ball would find Jokic with two or three guys on him, where he would, you know, so easily find Aaron Gordon each time for an easy layup. But it wasn't enough possessions. And yes, I agree, it had to do with a lot of possession where Faku was controlling the ball, mm-hmm. where there was no need for that second guy in front of Jokic to sag off of him when he knows Faku is just going to pass the ball every time. And this is not me being low on Faku. It is not his fault that he was on the court for 17 straight minutes, including the clutch ones. That's on Malone, not on Faku. Faku is a world-class player, and this team needs him, but his role really needs to change.
He
played between 20 and 25 minutes per game in Real Madrid, guarding much less athletic players. Why would anyone push him to so many minutes in one stint in the NBA?
Yeah.
Faku is not supposed to be there for the final possessions. When the game slows down, every possession is a pick and roll between the two best players on the court or ISO ball after the switch. But to change the rhythm of the game, we needed. Also, not calling a timeout 9 seconds out of the backcourt in the final possession wasn't a good idea. But I don't think that part was on Malone, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, that was a conversation. We'll talk about that a little bit more with the timeout. Ray had an interesting thought of if the guards are going to struggle in the clutch, maybe just give the ball to Jokic and run pick and rolls. I mean, that could be, like, again, one of those, like, let's try this, who cares? Like, I don't know if they're saving this, you know, for some of the, you know, possessions that are just, you know, kind of mixing it up for the playoffs, because we saw, like, Jeff Green was great. Aaron Gordon's great in pick and roll with Jokic, so maybe they're just not showing that, you know, showing the entire hand of cards for the regular season. And then with the Mfako playing 17 minutes, I think that was really bad. And that's kind of one of those weird, like, different things. I went to a EuroLeague game recently here live, and so I can just see more, like, it was more interesting to see just how the coaches operate and how the rotations go. And a lot in Europe, a lot more of the rotations are based on the needs right now on the team, because every game is more important. There's less of them, so by, you know, naturally it's just more important. So they would have, like, a situation of a guy playing up until, like, the 4 minute mark, end of the fourth, and then in the NBA, like, you would have your rotation fixed by that point, and that's the you know, the team you're going to end with, unless there's fouls or injections or something. And then here, like, you would have maybe a 2 minutes, someone would come in and sub a guy out if you really see he's struggling. So, like, with Faku, with NBA, like, because it's such so many games and you have to have some kind of rhythm for every game and flow, so the guys get used to it, so, you know, their bodies and, you know, rhythms get used to it. With 17 minutes with him was too much. I think he could have been pulled, like, even 3 minutes into the game, especially because it was close, and just put Jeff Green on, like, a fresh body in there. So I agree there with, like, some of the Malone decisions have been like, bad recently. But as we said last week, like, I don't think it's binary with him. It's just you have to kind of take some bad with the good, especially when he's dealt such a shitty hand this, you know, with the protocols this week, especially then Barton's in, Barton's out, this guy's hurt, this guy can't play. And to be fair, Faku has been the consistent threat with Jokic for the past two seasons. As shocking as that might be, like, he's been probably the healthiest guy, knock on wood, on the team. So, yeah, I mean, I agree with you. Like, just some of the execution could be better, but I think everything kind of cures, gets cured when Murray gets back, because they just have the equalizer and everything. Everyone else kind of falls into their own roles in the finishing minutes of the game.
Yeah, but that's the thing. If you have two elite pick and roll players, you don't need to coach them. You just give the ball to them. And this is the point where it is up to the coach to try to find something special, something different in the crunch time, and try to make them be more than a very, very mediocre crunch time team. If we look at their clutch numbers for this whole season, meaning only the games where the result was within 5 points in the last 5 minutes, the Nuggets were only 7 and 6 in the games where Jokic played. Even though Nikola was in all of those minutes, his personal net rating was only plus 1.1 per 100 possession in the clutch. And this is why the actual record is 7 and 6. And it was not because he was not playing well. It was because of who was he playing with. If we take a look at the past seasons, in 18-19, they were 31 and 13 in clutch games. In 19-20, they were 29 and 14. Even last year, even though they lost Jamal, you know, for the second half of the season, they were 18 and 13.
Yeah, but you see,
Jamal only played in 19 of those games. So now the most dynamic guard on the roster is Will Barton, who played his best minutes this season in first quarters, not in fourth quarters.
Yeah.
And he actually didn't play against the Clippers. After him, we have Monte, and he hasn't really been himself since he returned from the health and safety protocols. We're still waiting for the right Monte. After that, Austin Rivers, you know, he's a ball stopper, and he's in reality a third string player today. Adam mentioned on the Locked On Nuggets on Thursday that the Nuggets should try and play more freely and faster in the fourth quarter. Nuggets are so slow in the fourth quarter, and that might be the way to get out of that half-court offense, because you don't have players that are good enough for the half-court sets. Try to run a bit. At this moment, the fastest pace of all the players in fourth quarter is Nikola Jokic, and he is 200th in the league at pace in fourth quarter. So they're really, really slow this season. And I'm not trying to make a scapegoat out of Malone, saying that he is the problem on the team. His team was getting better each year with him until the injury bug attacked them. Creating new players are extremely difficult during the season with no practices between the games. So I get why you need to that top-level talent to win those close games. But there are things Nuggets could do to maximize Jokic minutes, and hope we will finally see it against a good team soon. Maybe play a bit bigger. Play a bit bigger. Just maybe, don't play like three guys, 6'3" and smaller in every crunch minute. That might help.
Well, to be fair. And then it's, again, like with Malone, I think so far maybe he is maybe failing that like clutch test, clutch plays and rotations test because of so many injuries. And maybe, he's also human, and he has to learn because it's so easy when you have Nikola Jokic just to be like, give him the ball, because he's been so good so far. But again, you had Jamal and you had that flow go, and then that gave you like such good results because everyone else, and then you have Michael Porter, shooting and everything else around them. So I can see it like right now to be like, why would I do anything else than just give the ball to Jokic? But when the defense is a little tightened up and change, and some of the actual defense around Jokic get tighter because they know that's where the Nuggets are going to go. That's where I know, the Clippers game looked so. But for the record, for me, that Clippers game, I didn't see it as a great game overall. Even when they were up 25, I was watching the replay. I was like, this is, if you weren't watching the score, you wouldn't think, at least from my perspective, I wouldn't think they were up that much, because I think it was a lot of sloppy basketball in that game. And then it just kind of caught up with them when Clippers started doing some good things for their end. So let's keep it moving, and we'll go to like some of my worst things. It's one of those like things I didn't really encounter. So
this wasn't bad enough. Let's go further.
Yeah, this wasn't. Yeah, like my worst things, like staying up for the Nuggets while watching them, in the middle of the night, because I live in America. For people that don't know, I study over there in Nebraska, so I'm in this one plus time zone. So I watch him in like regular evening. And here it's 7, 8 hours from Denver time, and it's middle of the night. So we have our guy Milan from Nugget Serbia podcast. Like, he does this all the time. Like, I could, and I'm on and off depending on the time, and I watch the replays. I don't know how he does it. I understand why he's like moving his nerves a lot of times, because watching, you know, I watched the Dallas game, like, I was cranky the entire day afterwards. And then you watch it, like, you know, I have to mute it because, you know, my parents are in the other room sleeping, have to go to work in the morning. And I see my dad, like, when the game's ending, like, he comes in ready for work. We watch the game. So that's one of my worst things. When they win, it's all great. But like, keeping up with them while, you know, while in the middle of the night struggling, you know, blowing a 25-point lead, or like struggling in the closing minutes against Dallas, you know, without, you know, with Luka and like without Porzingis, like, it's very, very irritating. Like, I mean, you've been doing this more than I do. What's your take on that? How do you feel?
Yeah, actually, I was watching all the games live up to 1 year ago. In this calendar, last calendar year, I stopped doing it. It's a very personal story. I had coronavirus for the New Year's last year, and I was sleeping for like 16 hours per day for 2 weeks because of it. And I really fell in love with sleeping. So basically, that's the only reason. I haven't watched a single Nuggets game this season live, apart from those in the Euro-friendly time. So... yeah, I'm still like 3 years older than Milan, so maybe he will caught up to me and just stop watching.
Yeah, although maybe.
I think he's quite crazy, so probably he'll continue. Even
yeah, he's the best. He's old, the best. Old like, years. Yeah, because it's really fun for me too when I'm over there. Like, we you know, we text all the time because he's the only one up from our crew, and Mislav is on and off. And he, when he watches, he doesn't want to text. So like, even if he's watching, he doesn't talk to us. So Milan and I, and you can see like the flow of the game based on our live chats in the middle of the night. And here, like, kind of this, honestly, this kind of period when I'm here brought me back to like high school when I was watching the playoffs, you know, and then go to school. And I don't know how I did it. And I don't know how the guys do the broadcast at like 3 a.m. till 5, or like last night's game was at 4. You can basically just give up on sleeping if you're going to stay up till 4 and you know, rewind the day. So that's my, you know, well, a funny worst thing. This time, hopefully by next show, I'll be in the States, so I'll be watching normal games. And then let's finish up with our Inat moment of the week. This was the jacked up three that Jokic did at the end of the Clippers games. We're not gonna like talk too much about this. It's one of those things that, you know, the word Inat was invented for Serbians, and it's their like it's our behavior that we exhibit at certain situations, like utter defiance in spite of great odds, or complete proud stubbornness to the point of self-destruction. So we saw last week's show, Jokic had the good Inat moment. This week, we see that he had a bad one. 9 seconds left, he can get a timeout, and he just, screw it. I'm just gonna shoot a three and see if we can win it now, because I'm not going overtime with this game. So I was kind of fed up. Like quick thoughts, just what do you think? What did you think when you saw that?
Yeah, Serbians have a long tradition of trying to solve everything with a last-second three. It started in 92 when Saša Đorđević did it in the final game of the EuroLeague for Partizan against Juventud Badalona. Then it continued in 97. That was the first game between Serbia and Croatia after the war. And it was solved by, again, Saša Đorđević three in the last second. And then in 2010, Miloš Teodosic scored a three in the last second against Jorge Garbajosa in Spain. Yeah. And the reason it was crazy, it was an even score. It wasn't even a 1-point advantage for Spain. And he still pulled out like a 8-meter or was that 24 feet away from the basket. And he just...
Oh, it was like 30 plus.
Yeah, 30 plus. Yeah, yeah. My calculations are not correct. So yeah, we have a tradition. Jokic didn't want to play the overtime. He took the shot, and he could have get it. So I get it why he did it. He was probably angry as well.
It is what it is. So we'll end it here. Will all you guys a Serbian fact of the week? Have a good one for next week. It's good. You know, we'll tune in and see what we're going to talk about. It's really cool. So follow us. You know, us on Twitter. We have our handles on the screen. And then everyone on, you know, DMVR YouTube channel, subscribe, follow all the guys on Twitter, DMVR Sports and DMVR Nuggets. We'll be here every week for the weekly recap. They have the shows every day, post-game, pre-game. We're doing this today on Friday because we have the game. There's two games back-to-back tomorrow and Sunday. So thanks, everyone, for watching. Idemo Nuggetsi. Let's go, Nuggets.
Idemo Nuggetsi.
Have a good one.